But first, a membership-based primary care practice, One Medical, has just opened mobile testing for COVID-19 for anyone who wants it, even if they don't have symptoms that point to the new coronavirus. It opened earlier this week in Scottsdale, and our co-host Lauren Gilger got a hold of One Medical's Dr. Natasha Bouillon on site there to talk about why testing everyone matters and what we can all be doing now to protect ourselves and each other, including the CDC's new recommendations about wearing masks in public. Here's their conversation.
We actually have kind of opened up our testing guidelines just today. So I think you previously knew that testing was prioritized for high-risk populations as well as essential workers. But we really think that testing is important for everybody who wants it, because we know there's some folks out there that have complex life situations. You know, they might be taking care of an elderly parent. They might have a child with asthma. And for them, it's pertinent to know if they are COVID positive. And so we're pretty open to testing anyone that has COVID-19 concerns. That does include people with symptoms. That also includes people without symptoms, because there's folks out there who don't have symptoms, who've been exposed to COVID-19, maybe through a roommate or a coworker, and they want to know if they have it. And we know that a lot of countries that were able to mitigate widespread disease, one of their strategies was early and widespread testing. And I think we're finding that the rates of people with COVID-19, potentially 20 to 30% of them, are asymptomatic.
So there's been so much talk about the lack of testing in this country in particular, and how, like you say, lots of people are asymptomatic but aren't going to get tested. Even I think last week it was the Department of Health Services here was advising primary care physicians to not test everybody because they don't have the tests available. I guess my question is, how is this possible? How did you get the tests that you need?
Yeah, no. So it's interesting because CDC and local Department of Health guidelines have been really driven by capacity. So when the CDC and local departments of health were telling people to dial back on testing, it's due to lack of PPE, it's due to lack of swabs, and it's due to lack of labs being able to test. But for us, we actually do have sufficient PPE, and we have swabs, and we are actually working with commercial laboratories, and they're able to run that testing. And so we're able to adjust our demand. That being said, I do like the idea of mobile testing, because the mobile open air testing, you can actually get a higher volume of patients through and use less PPE in this format and this setting compared to someplace like inpatient, emergency rooms, ICUs.
So how many folks have you been able to test so far? This just opened, I understand, but who are you hearing from?
Yeah, so we actually have the capacity to test about 50 patients per day. And we're mostly hearing from our own One Medical members, because One Medical, we're a membership primary care organization. We do have a membership fee, but we are offering a complimentary One Medical membership for the next 30 days for any people in Phoenix who want to get tested. And so right now we've been mostly seeing our own patients, but we know that it's going to open up. And really, we're seeing a range of symptoms. People have got cough, shortness of breath, fevers, but some people are just feeling fatigued. Some people are just feeling weak. Another interesting symptom is people are losing sense of smell or taste. Right. And so we're kind of just being pretty open and saying, look, if you've got concerns, we're happy to test you. And then the other group of people are essential workers. So law enforcement, grocery store clerks, food services, of course, healthcare workers, they've got concerns. And then the other group of people we're seeing, vulnerable patients, people who are pregnant, have asthma, chronic diseases. Diabetes is really common in Phoenix. And so we're seeing people with diabetes, all of those groups of people, it makes sense to test them.
Okay, so let's talk about these masks. The CDC sort of changing its tune in a way over the weekend, saying now we would like everyone, if you're out in public, to wear some kind of mask, even a homemade one. Mm-hmm. But for a long time before that, the messaging was really that only an N95, like medical grade mask, was really going to be effective. We had, you know, sewers on our show saying we don't want to manufacture these in our facilities because we don't have the right materials. We don't want to do it wrong. What gives here? What is effective?
Yeah. So I know that the guidance around masks has been very confusing, so I wanted to just help to break it down. So the idea of the general public wearing a mask, it's because if there is asymptomatic spread, someone might be talking, laughing, you know, there's spit that comes out of their mouth. And so if they wear a mask, really any sort of mask, that minimizes their spit and their droplet transmission. And the idea is that it minimizes spread of COVID-19. You're wearing a mask to protect others. You're not wearing a mask to protect yourself. The other idea is, can the general public wear masks to protect themselves? We know that N95 masks are pretty good at filtering microscopic particles, but here's the catch. Because we have such a shortage of PPE, those N95 masks and respirators need to be reserved for healthcare professionals. So where does that leave the general public that's looking to protect themselves? There's been a lot of research on other masks with other materials that are used with variable success. So one thing I tell people is, you know, when you're thinking about what material to use when you make a mask, cloth masks, they're okay, but they're nowhere near 95% capability of filtering particles, right? A simple test is hold up that piece of cloth to a bright light. And if light is kind of passing through pretty easily, then you know it's probably not filtering a lot of particles because we're looking for material that's much more dense. On the other hand, Lauren, we need to make sure that the material is breathable. People are using two layers of cloth masks with something like a coffee filter in between. And so when you take the double layer of cloth mask and you're adding the coffee filter in between, now, you know, the effectiveness, it's jumping from something like 20% of particle filtration to something even higher than 50%. But that being said, we also don't want masks to make the general public feel invincible. We don't want masks to give people a false sense of security. Just because someone is wearing a mask, they still need to self-isolate. They still need to distance from other people. When people are wearing masks, they tend to touch their face more. And it's that touching of the face is what's leading to a lot of transmission. And so I think the bottom line right now is we are saying masks should be worn widespread to protect others. The evidence is mixed of whether masks can protect yourself.
So essentially, this is a case of anything, something is better than nothing.
Yeah, something is better than nothing, but nothing is 100% protective.
Gotcha. That is Dr. Natasha Bouillon, the Regional Medical Director with One Medical and an assistant professor at the University of Arizona's College of Medicine here in Phoenix. Dr. Bouillon, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate the time.
Great. Thanks for your time.